Whoever is faithful with little is also faithful with much, and the one who is dishonest with little is also dishonest with much. If you haven't been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? The stories of creation that we have in the book of Genesis may well be more than 5,000 years old, though what we have in writing is probably only half that age. Many scholars believe the stories of creation actually began as campfire stories. You know, the stories you tell to your grandchildren, the stories shared over generations. There's evidence that we have two creation stories in Genesis that were combined. They're actually put one right after the other in an effort to unite the people of Israel after the Babylonian exile. As a side note, there are also two Noah stories, but they're told intertwined. So if you sense a bit of repetition in the story of Noah's Ark, and if you haven't noticed it before, go back and look. You can actually tease apart two separate stories of the great flood. These stories were never intended to be interpreted literally, which is why the differences in them remain. And they serve to give us a glimpse of what it was like for people in the 6th century BCE, how they imagined the world around them. They also serve to remind us of the overarching themes that God continues to reveal to us today. And I today especially like to focus on the command from God to care for creation. Many translations of the Hebrew, including the one that I found in my Jewish study Bible, include words like subdue, take charge, rule, master the earth. But the notes in my study Bible gave me a new understanding of their intended meaning. In the ancient Near East, the king was often said to be the image of the god he served, and therefore to act with divine authority. So in our Genesis story, the creation of humanity in God's image and likeness carries with it the commission to rule over the animal kingdom, to act with God's authority. Now, some have seen in that commission a license for ecological irresponsibility. But the fact is, the Tanakh, which are the first five books of the Bible, the Tanakh presents humanity not as the owner of nature, but as its steward, strictly accountable to the true owner. As Christians, we are instructed to be people of the whole book. That is, to take the Bible in its entirety, not picking and choosing scripture verses as they please us. And I realize I say this even as I picked and chose the verses you would hear this morning. But the challenge is, of course, that the Bible includes all kinds of contradicting teachings and stories. We all think of Noah as bringing the animals on the ark two by two. Well, if you read a little closely, one of the stories has two of each kind coming onto the ark. One has four of each kind. Depends on how you read it. This isn't intended to confuse us. It's intended to give us a glimpse of the context in which those people lived and how they perceived God's presence and action in their lives. It also gives us space to consider those stories and lessons based on our own experiences and contexts. We get to write our own kind of midrash. Just a couple days ago, there was a call for and an international gathering of people held for the climate strike. Did anyone hear about this or see about this? Yeah. Begun by Greta Thunberg, a 16-year-old young woman from Sweden, led by youth and young adults from all around the world, Fridays for Future strikes are reminding us that the earth does not belong to us. And I will be careful not to put words in someone else's mouth. So as a Christian, I see this as a holy and prophetic action. It is a testimony, a witness to the destruction humanity is causing and the refusal to admit that we have denied our responsibility to creation and to God. When we were given charge of this household of God, it was not to bring it to ruin. It was so that it would house and feed many generations, not just human generations, but the plethora of plant and animal life that God intended to be blessed by its bounty. Humanity was asked to be faithful with much, and over the generations, we have shown ourselves to be dishonest. We have been trusted with the true riches of creation, but have shown that we can't even be trusted with worldly wealth. This earth is someone else's property, and we have shown our disdain for the true master by idolizing the other, money and power. Greta Thunberg has made it her life mission to educate the world about climate change and its effects. Did you know that we are in the midst of a global extinction? 200 species of life go extinct every day. This was news to me. I don't know if it's news to you. I'm still learning. She recently spoke in an interview about the attitude she has encountered in the U.S. versus what she encounters in Europe and abroad. She said that the U.S., for the U.S., climate change is kind of like a matter of faith, meaning it's something we either believe in its existence or we don't. But throughout Europe, climate change is mostly considered a fact, with evidence provided by the scientific community and with effects we can already see, like extreme weather conditions, the increase in the quantity and severity of storms. Now, while the causes and solutions are still debatable, the existence of climate change is not for much of the world. So what shall we do to make a change? Because we all know that a strike is just an early step in the process of change. At least now we know that there are millions of people, I don't know if you saw the numbers, gathered in big cities in Sydney and all over the world. Millions of people acknowledge that climate change is real. At least now we can see that there are millions of people who want to do better. But are these the people in places of power? Who can we trust with such a great household as the earth? When we can plainly see how many of our politicians and business leaders cannot be trusted with little, with their own worldly wealth, why are we willing to entrust our planet's survival with them? One thing we can do is take ownership of our little corner of this planet. We can stand with our children, who will be forced to live through the effects of the destruction we, the older generations, have caused. We can work with scientists and educators who can teach us how to care for our lakes and mountains, our rivers and streams. We even have some of these folks in our own congregation that we can call upon. We can stop using pesticides in our family gardens. We can support local farmers instead of buying food that was irresponsibly sourced and shipped halfway around the world. We can support local businesses and families and stop using convenience products like styrofoam and single-use plastics. And we can do things like we're planning today instill the love of creation in our own hearts and in our children, which is one of the goals of our hike this morning. And so I don't have all the answers. And I leave us with one question and invite the conversation to continue. We have been invited to be faithful with much, with all of creation. How shall we answer the call? Amen.